You're listening to the Calvary Church audio experience, designed to empower and encourage you throughout your week.
Well, Calvary family, grab your Bible, if you will. Turn with me again to the book of, can you guess, Philippians. Let's go to chapter 4. This is week 12 in a 14-week series we've called Gospel-Fueled Joy. It's a collection of talks from Philippians. We have been taking a walk, a slow walk, verse by verse through this letter from the Apostle Paul while he is sitting in a Roman prison awaiting his death sentence. And as you are turning to Philippians, come on, in your New Testament, I want to take just a moment to welcome those of you joining us online. We are so glad to have you with us today. We really are. I got word we've got people from North Carolina, from California, from Georgia, from New York, from Illinois, from Arizona, from New Mexico, from Virginia, Florida, Louisiana. Are you ready for this? From Nigeria, from the Netherlands, from Ghana, from Mexico, from Belgium, from Ireland, from Romania, from Portugal, from Norway, from India. Would you clap your hands and welcome all those that are joining us online? Welcome to Calvary Church. We're going to make our confession together, all of us. Take one of your hands, set it on your heart, and I want you to say it out loud and say it with all you got. Come on, say, eyes to see, ears to hear, a heart to receive, a mouth to confess all the good things Christ has already provided for me. Now give a good hand clap to that little baby up there saying it. Come on. I heard you, baby. I love it. Y'all ready for God's word? Somebody say yes. Today we are going to continue focusing on a passage I really believe that is more than relevant when it comes to the world that we are living in today. As I was studying for this talk, I shared with you an article that I read that personal stress and anxiety worldwide are currently at record levels. In fact, according to this article, stress and anxiety throughout the world are the highest they have been in decades. And grim new stats confirm a disturbing trend. And it's this: more people are taking their own lives than ever before. And we know that a lot of stress and anxiety, it's linked to suicide. Suicide is stress, is linked to stress and anxiety. And today we're going to continue for just a moment talking about this and looking into God's word, and we're going to find one of the most, I believe, helpful passages in your Bible on dealing with stress and anxiety in our lives. And as we have been studying this book in your Bible, I really believe the Holy Spirit has been showing us that real joy, genuine joy, abundant joy, gospel-fueled joy is available to those who trust Mr. Joy himself, Jesus. But if we're brutally honest, I think sometimes life seems so crazy, so out of control, so stressful, and it's difficult for us to trust God for the peace that we long for in our lives. And of course, living under the domination of anxiety and stress, it affects us in so many ways. We talked a little bit about that. It affects the quality of our closest relationships. Some of you know about that. It impacts our ability to concentrate and function at our optimal capacities. We talked about that. I think the most devastating is it can really impair the opportunities that we have to really live the life that we were meant to live, the Christ life, life that is free, life that is full. I'm talking about enjoying the life, life that we get to live out this message and this mission of the declaration and demonstration of the good news of God's grace to everyone, every day, everywhere. And the fact is, think about it, when you are stressed out, you feel hypocritical. You just fear that if you're struggling in your life to trust God, then what business do I have telling anybody else about God's goodness. And that's, I really believe, where the enemy wants us. I really believe, and in a few weeks, I'm going to take a week to talk about it, but I really believe that a spirit of fear and intimidation has come upon the church. But I want you to know today that the enemy does not have control of your spirit, but I think the next best thing is to make you ineffective as possible so that you won't share the light, you won't share the life of Jesus with others. And how many of you know our world right now needs the light and the life of Jesus? We live in a world that is full of what? Bad news, but there is good news. And how many of you know Jesus is the greatest news in the world? He died for you. He lives for you. And if you believe it, clap your hands and give God praise. Come on, somebody. Of course, you know stress is caused by a lot of things. And I get it. Not all stress is crippling or even negative, but I'm not even here to talk about low levels of stress. My point is this, that Satan can twist it to the point, just like with any good thing. He can twist it to the point that it becomes crippling. It becomes counterproductive. And for a lot of us, anxiety becomes so overwhelming that we feel like we are going crazy. We lose our sanity. We lose our mind. I'm so thankful we have a good shepherd who says, I restore your sanity. I restore your soul. As a matter of fact, I'm declaring that today. Get ready. You're going to experience it. And if you're online, you better invite somebody right now to join in, because what I'm going to do in a moment is going to free you. I want you to get a hold of this. All of a sudden, we're losing our mind. That fight or flight instinct begins to kick in. And last week, I talked about that. Those who tend to be fighters and those who lean more on the fight or the flight mentality. And I'm not going to get into that again. If you missed it, go back online and check it out. But I just want to highlight again that bold claim that's made in the Bible about correctly handling anxiety and stress. In fact, it's a claim that comes with a guarantee, I told you. And not a doctor's guarantee, but a divine guarantee. And if I told you today that there's a guarantee from God in the realm of dealing with stress and anxiety, how many of you would like that? Come on, with a show of hands, let me see. And it's important to understand some things, and I'm gonna get to that guarantee in just a moment, but we've got to understand, and I talked about this last week. I just want to touch on it again, but anxiety can be triggered by different things, and last week I named just a few of those things. I called them stress triggers. I'm not going to re-preach all of this, but I do want you to get it because it goes along with what I'm teaching today, and the first one was what? Do you remember? It was crisis. I talked about that. The next one, remember, another trigger I talked about is criticism. And again, if you missed it, you got to go back. And then another thing, and this is probably the biggest one of all, is consequences. That's the biggest. And then one I really felt led by the Holy Spirit to address, and it's this one here. I called it chemical imbalance. And I want us to consider quickly, again, I'm not going to get back into these, but I want us to consider quickly what Paul has to say about facing stress and anxiety. So we looked at these stress triggers. How do we deal with it? And we don't know anything about Paul's brain chemistry. I'm not here to talk about that. The science wasn't even available in that day. But we do know that Paul was definitely facing these things here. Crisis, criticism, and consequences. I mean, I've said it throughout this series that Paul, think about this, while he's writing this letter to the Philippians, Paul is in prison. He's waiting a death sentence trial. He's been thrown into prison by Roman authorities. So if ever there's a person who's dealing with crisis, let me tell you something. Paul was dealing with crisis during that time in his life. Y'all getting this? Say yes. And then you deal with criticism. Paul was attacked. He was criticized by all kinds of people. Think about that. He had left his religious upbringing in favor of grace. He went with the gospel, faith, righteousness. And so his critics are everywhere. Remember, both Jew and Gentile critics. And many of them would stop at nothing to cast doubt on his character. Remember, I told you, Paul had enemies, had a lot of enemies, had a lot of people trying to drain him of his energy. Are y'all getting this? And then finally, consequences, even though he made good choices, they weren't without consequences. Because remember, I talked to you about his bold decision to carry the gospel on major missionary journeys spanning over many years. That decision right there, that decision came with serious consequences that cost him, I've taught you, literally everything. So Paul knew stress as well as any human being that ever lived. And I took you to 2 Corinthians 11, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28, 29. Because what he does there, and I love it, is he summarized a few of those stressful situations in his life. I would encourage you to go back and read it. You talk about some stressful situations, and I love it. I love how in that passage, Paul is so transparent. I can't get over it. I'm just mesmerized by Paul's authenticity. Every time I read his writings, he never denies his own pain. No, we are not denying our pain, and I love that about Paul. He's not denying what he goes through, but he's showing us that we can live with genuine, with real, with gospel-fueled joy even in the middle of pain. Are y'all getting this? And so now we come to Philippians 4. We've been at Philippians 1, 2, 3. Here we come to 4. And I want to pick up now because you're going to see what I'm talking about. Don't miss this. I left off here. All right, Philippians 4, our theme passage. Let's look at verse 1. Come on, Paul continues his letter. Here we go. Therefore, because of what I just said, because of what I just said in chapter 3, are y'all getting this? Remember I talked to you about this in chapter 3, how to relax, how to remember, how to resolve, how to review, how to resist. Remember chapter 3, he deals with the five ways of thinking of an effective believer. He just talked to you about relaxing in the assurance of God's grace. He talked about remembering what matters most, and that's what we focus on. He talked about resolving to know Jesus intimately. He talked about reviewing areas where we need to grow in grace. He talked about resisting both regret from the past and then fear and intimidation about the future. And after all of that, now he says, therefore, after I've given you all of that, watch, now I want you, church, to what? Stand firm in the Lord. In other words, these are the attributes, the attitudes to cultivate. If you are going to stand firm in faith, watch, no matter what the crisis is, no matter what the criticism is, and no matter what the consequences are, you are going to stand. As a matter of fact, I declare over Calvary Church, I don't know about every other church, but there's a shaking going on, but I declare that you will stand in faith, deeply rooted in the gospel, and you will not be shaken away. If you believe it, clap your hands and give God praise. If you believe it, say it out loud. Say yes. All right. Then look at verse 21. Now he's dealing with some personal remarks, and I love this about Paul. He's a good pastor, so he deals with two women that are fighting in the church. Kind of sounds like 2020. Come on. And he names these women, and he says, hey, come on, be of the same mind. I mean, he says, yeah, I ask you, my true companion, help these women since they have, you know, contended at my side in the cause of the gospel, along with Clement and the rest of my co-workers. He says, whose names are in the book of life. He says, come on now. He says, I gotta plead with you about these women. He says, they've been such a blessing in this ministry, but come on, don't you dare allow division to threaten the work of the gospel. Do you want to hear me? Listen to me, church. You want to hear where there's a threat of the gospel going forward? Watch, you talk about the outside, it's actually division from the inside. And apparently there was some kind of relational problem threatening unity. and these two sisters in Christ, and Paul was pleading with them, hey, church, walk in unity. We got to carry this gospel. Walk in unity rather than divisiveness. I love that. So Paul's dealing with these women. They're going at each other on social media, and Paul, he's dealing with it. And then, I was just kidding, there was no social. And then finally, Paul launches into the meat of what we want to focus on today. And he says in verse 4, here it is, rejoice. I know there's some stress, but watch. He says, rejoice in the Lord always. And just in case you miss it, he says, and again. Let me rewind that and say it again. Rejoice in the Lord. Are y'all getting this? Always. And again, just in case you didn't get it, I say what? Rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. He says the Lord is near. All right, I told you there's a guarantee, a divine guarantee. He says do not be anxious. Watch, it doesn't say there's a few things you can be anxious about. There's a couple of things you can be anxious about. No, he says, be anxious for absolutely nothing. But in everything, with prayer, in every situation, prayer and petition with thanksgiving, you present your request to God. Lift up your hands, every one of you. And the peace of God, which transcends your understanding, is going to guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. In the name of Jesus, there is a release of the peace of God. If you believe it, give God praise right now. Come on. Hallelujah. There's that divine guarantee right there, the promise that I mentioned to you earlier. There it is. And then he goes on. Oh, I'm getting happy. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right. Now, just think about your own life. Is this the stuff right now that you're thinking about? Whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is excellent, whatever is worthy of praise. I want you to think on these things. I want you to have a new mindset. I really do. And then he says this. I want to make it clear in verse 9. He says, whatever you learned, whatever you received from me or you seen in me, that's what I want you to put into practice. Here it is. And the God of peace will be with you. Now, church, you're going to notice that unlike most weeks, I did not give you a teaching outline. Most of the time on your Calvary app, if you're going to notes, you will find all of the scriptures because I want you to study during the week. I want you to meditate. I want you to study scripture for yourself. And I get it. Normally I teach through the text. I provide you that outline, but I didn't do that because today I am excited. I told you I'm coming back to this and I'm excited to try and experiment with you, and I have never done this before. And what I'm doing is we are moving today out of the lecture hall and we are moving into the laboratory together. You better get ready. And I'm going to share a tool with you that I personally use in my own life every single day to apply these gospel realities in my own life. I wash my imagination with these truths, and I'm gonna make a confession to you, and I made this confession last week. It's kind of confessions of a pastor that, and I know it surprised some of you, that yes, I even worry sometimes. I know that shocks you. I worry about stuff just like you do. I worry about my family. I worry about my kids and someday my grandkids growing up. My children and their children growing up in a world like this, and I worry about my future sometimes. I worry about, you know, finances. I worry about faith. I worry about you. I worry about you. I worry about your children as a pastor. Sometimes I worry that I'm not feeling worried enough about stuff I think I need to worry about. And I know I'm probably sounding a little flippant there, but that I'm making a point that just because I have faith in Jesus does not mean that I don't have to deal with the impulses of the flesh. What's that? That is the unrenewed mind, right? My unrenewed mind can worry sometimes. My unrenewed mind can stress about stuff in life. And I have chosen to go down that road many, many times. I've chosen to go down that old way of thinking many, many times. And let me tell you something, that will lead to a very dark place. And I talked to you last week, and I'm not here to reteach this, but I gave you an illustration last week that I don't want you to miss, but I will highlight it because some of you wonder why you are in such a messed up place. Watch this. Don't ever forget it, that your thoughts become things. That's why the Bible says above everything else, you better guard your heart, guard your mind, because thoughts become things. And the reality is every day you will come to these moments, I don't know, 10 times a day, 20 times a day. Some days for me, it's 100 times where I've got to make a decision in that moment to fight what's called the good fight of faith. I got to fight the fight. It's called a good fight, but it's called a fight of faith. Faith. What am I going to believe? This is the old mind or old mindset. Wrong thinking. World's opinions. Things below the line in the realm of senses. What we see, what we hear, what we feel. This is what the Bible calls carnal or fleshly. This is law mindset. And the reality is I may come to these forks in the road every day where I have to make a choice. I got to decide which way am I going to go. And I head down this road, and over time, guess what? I wind up in places that I have a victim mentality, a lack mindset, sickness in my body, frustration, darkness, no light, very depressed, confused, conflict, unrest, no rest, unrest. I have to make a decision to back out of this place, renew my mind to the truths of the spiritual realities. And the fact of the matter is my thoughts become things. And instead of being a victim, I began to realize I am victorious in Christ. I began to prosper. That's called being led along a good road. The word prosperity God leads us on is being led along a good road. There's health, there's ease, there's light, not darkness. There's joy, there's calm, there's peace. There's peace that goes beyond even my understanding. There's joy unspeakable and full of goodness. But let me tell you something. I've got to bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ on the cross. There are thoughts that will rise up above the knowledge of God. What God knows true about me. But I got to bring those thoughts into captivity and say, no, I'm going another way. I am going this way. I'm living the blessed life. If y'all are getting this, clap your hands and give God praise. Come on. This is important. And I talked about this because you need to understand with all of that in mind, and go back and watch it. I'm going to give you now a prayer and meditation exercise, a tool that I actually use every single day in my fight of faith. And I'm going to invite you, for some of you, I'm going to warn you, this is going to stretch you a little bit. But you're going to join me in prayer and meditation. God told me He's going to begin to restore your soul. And my hope is that this simple exercise is going to be deeply meaningful to you, because I'm teaching you something very practical. And it's going to become something that you're going to benefit from regularly when you're facing these stress triggers from crisis or criticism or consequences, whatever it is. And here's what we're going to do. I've never done this before. I want you to take your Bible or your Bible app or whatever's in your hand, and right now I want you to set it aside. Set it aside. I don't want anything in your hand. And I want you, in just a moment, you're going to direct your attention to the screens behind me. And rather, here's what the Lord showed me. Rather than me teaching verses 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, what we are going to do is I'm going to show you now how to take that word, pray through them together, meditate on God's promises, begin to watch this, your imagination, don't miss this. Your God-given imagination is the screen, watch. Your mind is the projector, don't miss this. Your God-given imagination is the screen. Your mind is the projector. Watch this. Every day you can choose what film you're going to play on that projector. You can play flesh or you can play spirit. Don't miss this. You are a projectionist. The Bible says you have a will. Watch this. You're not a victim. You have a will. You can choose every day. Watch. Some of you wonder why I'm living the life I'm living. I'm helping you right now. You are a projectionist. Don't miss this. You've chosen what to play. You've chosen what movie you're going to play on the projector. That's what you're watching on your imagination. And guess what? Some of you have a cracked projector, a dirty projector. Don't miss this. That's why the Bible says be renewed in your mind. Why? Because what you're seeing, I want it to come from heaven's perspective. Because what you see is what you become. Are y'all getting this? As a man thinks in his heart, don't miss this, so is he. Your imagination is the screen. Your mind is the projector. The film, the flesh, or the spirit? The will. You are the projectionist. You get to choose what you're going to play. I'm going to tell you, there is a lot of static in the world right now. And you are losing your mind with all of the static. And here's what we are going to do today. I know that some of you have come in this place. You've come through these doors in person. Some of you are sitting at home, literally out of your mind in fear. You won't even come to corporate worship overcome with anxiety, fear. Some of you can't get out of bed. You're there and you're losing your mind. You've got heavy burden, stuff that's triggering a lot of stress and anxiety in your life. And I don't know what it is. For some of you, it's your kids, it's your their future, it's your marriage, it's the business, it's your finances, it's your health, it's other relationships in your life, whatever. Everything is being shaken right now. And again, there's something that you can use. When you wake up in the morning for the next 14 days, yes, I'm giving you some homework. For the next 14 days, when you get up in the morning, the first thing you grab for, I don't want you to touch your phone. I don't want you to go on social media. I don't want you to turn on the news. I don't want you to get wrapped up in all of the static. I want you to find a place when you are overwhelmed, and I want you to get the help that you need so that you can live in victory and you can reign over stress and anxiety. And when you feel stressed at times, anxiety is not going to rule in your life. And I'm going to help you. And that's why I'm calling this moment gospel-fueled joy in your prayer life. Are you ready? Somebody say yes. Okay. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to sit on this stool like I do every day. I find a place to be alone with Jesus. I shut off the noise. And I've never done this before in a corporate worship experience, so you're going to join me today. And I'll tell you, it's kind of a vulnerable place, like I'm sharing a place of intimacy in my own life, but I'm going to do it today because I'm watching people lose their mind. They're restless. I want you right now to close your eyes, and I want you to take three deep breaths and be reminded of the breath of God in you now, the Holy Spirit. And we're going to begin to focus on the Lord with our full attention right now. I want you to be aware of His closeness. As a matter of fact, take your hands and turn them out like you're receiving from the Lord and set your hands down there beside you like you're receiving. The Bible says, be still and know that I am God. There's a whole generation right now, a whole generation of people who've not learned to be still. And the fact of the matter is they go berserk if they don't have all their time occupied with noise. If they're not on the phone talking to crazy friends, if they're not on social media, if they're not watching television, if they don't have some noise in their life, they're going crazy. And so many voices are clamoring for a listening ear right now. So much static. You're getting static from the world. I'm not going to teach on that today. The flesh, your unrenewed mind, and even the devil. That refers to either oppressive or seductive messages that originate from the kingdom of darkness. But all that static right now is about to give way to the clear channel of God's voice. My sheep know my voice. You're going to hear the genuine voice of the Good Shepherd rising above all the other voices. And His voice, you're going to know it because it's the voice that brings life, not anxiety. It's the voice that brings peace, not stress. It's the voice that calms your fears, doesn't make you anxious, gives you a confident expectation of good things, not bad things. I want you to listen right now. He's with you. He's in you. You hear His voice. As a matter of fact, He answers when you call on Him and you receive what you need. As a matter of fact, the Bible says that His sheep know His voice. So right there where you are, in your own words, I just want you to say right now, I expect to hear Your voice, Good Shepherd. Go ahead, just say it. I expect to hear Your voice. We are missing, I believe, one of the greatest benefits, one of the greatest blessings in life, if we don't learn to live from within, live from the kingdom of God in us. Seek first this kingdom that's in me, and everything else will be added. Some of you are so tired and worn out, you're trying to do the everything else. And He says, when you seek first the King and His kingdom and His dominion in you, righteousness and peace and joy, everything else will unfold in your life. But you got to learn to take time and be still. And I'm going to lead you now on a prayer journey that's based on these scriptures. I didn't make this up. This is our text. And for the next 14 days, I want you to find a place. And I'm teaching you now what I do. As a matter of fact, I'm there right now. Thank you, Jesus. Verse 4 says, rejoice in the Lord always. And I will say it again, rejoice. Take a deep breath. Turn your hands and just receive right now. Father, I thank You for helping me today choose joy. By the power of the Holy Spirit, I have a choice. And today I choose joy, no matter what the challenges, no matter what the temptations, no matter what the circumstances. Whatever I face today, my heart will rejoice in Your unfailing love. Let Your gentleness be evident in me, verse 5. The Lord is near. Look at that, Father. Thank You for helping me to walk by the Spirit today. I thank You that the fruit of the Spirit is gentleness and self-control. I know that I can do this because You're near me. That's what Your word just said. You're near me. You're in me. You're upon me. You're within me. And everything I need, I have in You. As a matter of fact, I thank You today that I lack absolutely nothing. Whatever I look at that is a perceived problem, it's not even really a problem because I carry the divine life of God. You're not ashamed to introduce me as part of Your family. I carry Your DNA. I carry God DNA. I don't lack anything. So today, whatever I face that appears to be a problem, I look inward and I find everything I need, and I begin to declare it, and I thank You that I manifest the kingdom of God. Verse 6, do not be anxious about anything. but in every situation by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, I present my request to you, Father. And I thank you for your promise to supply all of my needs according to your glorious riches that are found in Christ Jesus. Thank you for helping me to walk moment by moment in complete trust. Your love for me is unfathomable, and your mercies are new every single morning. I thank you today for new mercies. I'm trusting you now. And now, come on that screen, that screen that God's given you called imagination, I'll begin to go there and I'll begin to see it. I declare safety and protection. I see my wife protected. I see my children walking every day in safety and protection. I see peace and joy at the core of my being as I rest in your love for me. I begin to see good opportunities. Good opportunities. I don't care. The world is restless and saying there are no opportunities, but I'm your child and I see good opportunities. As a matter of fact, today I see the universe tilted in my favor. I can't help but step through good doors. All my daily physical, psychological, spiritual needs are met by your grace, and I thank you and I receive right now. Verse 7, and the power of God, which transcends all understanding. There's some things in my life that I just haven't understood, but I thank you, your peace guards my heart and guards my mind. Father, I praise you for the promise that your peace is resting upon me and guarding my heart and my mind today against every attack from the world or the flesh or the devil. And now I pray for the same in the lives of my family. And then I begin to see my family in the lives of the men and women that I do this thing called life with. And I begin to see my staff growing in grace and wisdom, and my pastors and my co-workers and my church families. Finally, brothers and sisters, verse 8, whatever is true, God, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, anything excellent, anything praiseworthy. And then you begin to realize all the stuff it says, think about these things. And then you begin to think about all the stuff that you've been thinking on, and you've gone down that road. But then you say, I change my mind. Father, today I fill my mind with what is true about me as evidenced in Christ Jesus. My God, I'm there. May I live overwhelmed by your opinion of me today. Today I'll acquaint myself with a revelation of righteousness. Today I'll realize more and more your likeness in me, and I'm discovering how famous that I am in light of the gospel, and I ponder how elevated I am in Christ. You are noble. You are right. You are pure. You are lovely. You are admirable, Lord. You are excellent. You're the one worthy of praise. And so I set my eyes in that realm, whatever you have learned, verse 9, or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. And right there I say, Father, the things that I've learned over the last 8 years in this revelation of grace, and all of a sudden, I'm out of this world. I'm out of this world. I'm out of the crisis, and now I'm seeing where I'm seated in Christ, and everything looks different. I'm out of the voices, the crazy people that I've listened to, and I'm out of all the mess. And I'm saying, yeah, grace really is sufficient for me. Yeah, your power really is made perfect in my weakness. Yeah, I do boast in my weakness today, because that's when I'm strong. Yeah, I've been crucified with Christ in the life that I now live. I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me. Sin's not going to reign over me and be my master. I reign in life because of grace and righteousness. I ponder these things and I wash my imagination and all this good stuff. I thank you, Lord. It's not just a fuzzy feeling, but this is your voice, shepherd, endorsing my oneness. Take a deep breath right now. I practice your presence, because today my conversations,
my private thoughts, my decisions, my interactions in the world, in a crazy and out of control world. I'm going to walk today as a child of God. I'm going to walk today full of the fullness of God. Grace upon grace. And when I feel like I ran out of grace, another truckload shows up. And when I feel like I run out, another truckload shows up. And I thank you and I give you praise.